to the Challenge Double Agents Wrap-Up Podcast, episode 15. I am Brian Cohn. Hear me, as always, my co-host, Alistair. Allie, how are you?
You know what's weird is, like, I have our theme song stuck in my head, and I haven't listened to our theme song since the last time I was off the pod, which hasn't been that long. And what's funny to me is, like, the listeners just heard it and might still be hearing it, but it's stuck in my head now in real time on Thursday. Very weird. Anyway, how are you, Brian?
Allie and Brian C. I'm good. I thought it was another good episode. Closing in the final. A lot of stuff going on in the challenge world. It was good. Things are good.
So that's telling, right? Because I feel like popular opinion and our opinion on a week-to-week basis over the last few weeks, besides the two eliminations, is that, like, the episodes haven't been super good when you break it down and you nitpick. But I agree with your sentiment overall. Oh, good episode. It's the challenge. It's quarantine. We're enjoying ourselves. Is it the most intriguing? Maybe not, but I like it.
Yeah, I found myself in a weird rabbit hole. I was trying to find, like, an old tweet of mine, so I was, like, scrolling back in my old tweets, and I saw the string of tweets I had for the premiere and, like, how excited I was for it. And not, like, obviously I knew the excitement was going to wear down, and it hasn't really worn down as much as other seasons, but, like, I really thought that was, like, the greatest thing in the entire history of the planet. And, like, it was really good, but, like, the season has been good, but it's not, like, been, like, that level good.
Yeah, why? Is it because there was no survivor? Like, why was the hype around the season so huge? Natalie, for sure. But, like, otherwise...
Yeah. I think it was the Natalie thing, I guess.
Nothing else was on. That really is it.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah. I mean, December was, like, pretty dark times in, like, the grand scheme of things. So the fact that we had this to, like, prop us up was a big deal.
Yeah, context is everything. But look, I mean, I was on a Clubhouse at, like, 2 a.m. last night. Clubhouse is very nice when you have to work late and people can just, like, chat while you work. But I was
a question about Clubhouse.
Oh, sure.
Because sometimes I accidentally click the notification, because you're Mike My now. You're my big for Clubhouse. Yes, maybe you invite me. So if you click, like, a notification to join a room, like, everyone sees you, like, join automatically. Sometimes I click it by accident, and then, like, I don't. And then if I leave, is there a notification that I left? Like, how does that work?
So there's no notification that you leave. Like, we could do a few minutes at the end about Clubhouse ins and outs. Rob would probably be happy to talk to you about it. But it's very awkward because I wish there was a chat where you could be like, great hang, gotta go. Like, it does feel a little rude, but they don't get a notification. It's just if you're in a small enough room where they notice that you leave. But I think it's the norm, like, the social norm of Clubhouse is, like, sometimes you gotta go. And it's, like, okay to leave. But I was in this Clubhouse with Jacob and Amon and Matt Liguori and Max Dawson was there and Bryce was there and Chappelle was there and MJC was there, whatever, who cares? And I completely forgot now why I was talking about this.
Oh no.
Wait, what did we I'm back. If this were NGOG, I'd cut that part out, but alas, I don't do the work here, thankfully. Nope. So Amon was saying, like, I wish I could get into the challenge, like, but I don't have the motivation and whatever. And, like, Matt was trying to convince him. And I just was like, look, my attitude is and will always be, we don't need you. Don't watch. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like. If the excitement is dying down for the people who joined expecting this to be, like, a mind-blowing season and you're not satisfied, get out. Just kidding. We'll try another season. Like, but this I do think is, like, is it the best season? No, but it's representative of what the challenge is probably at its most average will be. Like, this is pretty standard to good.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's really hasn't been a real dud of a week. I mean, and for the most part, obviously, like, it's been on a good cycle without, like, the two big continues. The flow's been good. It's almost been too repetitive. We kind of talked about that, but it's been good. The cast, it's been I would give it a solid, like, B. I was debating between minus and plus, and I'm landing on B. I'll give it a B.
I think B is right. I feel like there have been more duds, maybe, but I'm, you know, shocking. I run negative. But my frustration lies in sort of just the, okay, now it's your turn to get a skull. Now it's your turn to get a skull. You're my sister, so I'd never put you in. You're my girlfriend, so I'd never put you in. That's not so technically right. You're my boyfriend, so I'd never put you in. So, like, that can be better and will be better in future seasons, like of the draw. But I'm, you know, going into sort of pre-finale week, I'm okay. I agree with the B. It's still incomplete, though. Maybe we need to put drop the famous Brian's famous eye until we get to the end of the season. But for now, I'm with you. It's definitely on a B track.
It was a big week for the big T. She was once again, after a few weeks laying low outside of the seat of love. This was her shining star week once again.
I mean, the headline story here, not to jump to the end, I mean, I apologize as a doubter. I'm now a believer in Big T, like CT. I strayed, but I am here. I cannot believe that we are here talking about an episode that ends in basically Big T's challenge coronation.
Yeah, see, this is where I'm because obviously you're happy for Big T. Everyone's happy for Big T. But I would love to know the context of this, because Anissa, obviously this is jumping way to the end, but Anissa
put
together.
This is our big story.
Like,
let's do it. Yeah,
This is it. This is it. But like Anissa, this was the equivalent of Amber M in elimination. Like, this was just a horrific performance that, like, it's almost impossible to have any sense of how Big T did. Like, I would love to know, like, how long this took her, and then compare it to some, like, how this compared. Obviously, she wouldn't do as well as, like, Natalie and Ashley did and the guys did, but I would love to have some level of context, because was Big T actually just good? Like, is this a good performance, or is this just an atrocious showing from Anissa?
I think it's a little of column A, a little of column B, in that, like, to me, it's sort of I don't think it's an Amber M, Amber B situation, because Anissa is the elimination beast. So, like, even though it was an abysmal showing from Anissa, it's more, to me, it's similar to Jay toppling CT. Like, that's amazing. He took out one of the top challenge competitors of all time, which in the elimination arena, Anissa is. But what does it say about Jay? I'm not sure. So same thing to you. What does this say about Big T? I think it says, much like what it said about Jay, is that she can do more than people expected. I mean, Anissa was not able to move a foot, and she did the whole course. So even if it took her 10 minutes, I mean, I'm like Yosef now. Even if it took her an hour, 10 minutes would be quick. Even if it took her an hour, she was physically able to do it. And I think a lot of people, including maybe myself, although I do think we speculated that this elimination might be better for her last week.
For sure. For sure.
But I would have, if you told me Big T couldn't achieve this, like, what were the odds? I would say, I don't know, maybe like 60% that she can't even do the elimination.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was my first round pick in, like, the must lose draft, right? Or the first or second round pick. So that's, no one was like, wow, why are you taking Big T already? Like, that was the expectations for her going in. So, yeah, I mean, her winning any elimination is stunning, but I think credit to her, where she's gotten to the point where it's like judging her elimination wins against anyone else to see how it compares. Like, I didn't think she would have one to begin with, but the fact that now it's like, all right, well, how good was it is a good bar up for where Big T now stands as a competitor.
Yeah, and we'll memorialize or we'll eulogize Anissa later, but definitely a hard to watch, especially as you've been made to feel bad for her all season about how people are treating her. And then she just hangs like she's on a spit, basically, for the whole challenge. Yeah. It was so. And to be clear, I wouldn't be able to do it either, Anissa. But, like, I'm not on the show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Big difference. Big difference.
Going back to something we talked about last week, Spencer says, I'm sure you've gotten 100 responses. Spencer, you'd be surprised. You're the only person to say this. The episode titles are based on spy movies, including several James Bond movies.
Well, there you go. Good factoid. Appreciate it.
And here's another factoid from Spencer. I love this because I don't read this and I should start. But Spencer said that this direct TV description of the episode killed me in its spot on accuracy. Quote, fragile male egos are on the line when two top dogs argue about who is the best player in the game. I mean, that's really the second headline. Maybe that's the headline subheading Big T wins an elimination.
That's so funny. Oh my god, I would love to know who's writing those. That's so good.
I'm making Leslie Knope headlines for the episode. Like, fragile men fight, colon. Big T pulls out upset, colon. Anissa, will she return? Like, it just like, that's the headline for the episode.
Yeah, add that to the list of segments. The DirecTV shade of the week.
But all right, if we go back, one thing I want to talk about with Corey and Cam is, like, to Cam's credit, I can't figure out when she's happy to be with a partner and when she's not happy to be with a partner. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to go to the big M word, morale, that's huge and a big testament to Cam. Like, what do you feel her reaction is? Can you get a read on her feelings about her partnership with Corey?
Yeah, the only read I had was right before they started doing, like, their section of the daily, like, they just exuded so much positive energy. Like, it was, like, so, it was so noteworthy. I took a note on it. I was like, they exude positive energy. Like, I think, I don't know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I think they have very similar energy levels and they work well together. And I think it's a perfect pairing between the two. And they, like, the state of mind that Corey's in now and how Cam is just generally, they work very well together, it seems like.
It's very reminiscent of her partnership with Kyle, right? Like, he, you know, Kyle just, like, loved Cam so much. And we can see a very negative side of Kyle, but I think we saw more of sort of Corey joy out of Kyle when he was with Cam because he just loved being with her. And it does sort of highlight that while Cam, you know, CT said in confessionals, but, like, maybe Cam wasn't super thrilled about being with CT because just the sandwich comparison of how she is with Corey and Kyle versus CT is damning. But if I, you know, like, I love Corey. Nobody loves Corey more than I do. But I don't know if I'd be, like, super stoked on being his partner. So kudos to Cam for, I guess, recognizing talent and caring about morale.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely knows how, if she's faking it, this is an incredible performance because she, I mean, she looks genuinely happy. So kudos to her if she's putting on a complete act here.
I mean, I doubt we see Cam in an elimination, but let's say there's some situation where Cam gets the opportunity to switch. What do you think she would do here?
So it's, I think, I wonder if, like, let's say, like, if right before a final, I wonder if she would, like, just roll the dice and go all in with Leroy. I wonder if they've had that conversation, like, at what point they would join forces. But let's say, let's rule that out if they want to stay separate. I think she'll probably just stick with Corey. Like, I don't know if she would want to go with Fessia. With the way the word of the street is that Fessy's, like, this horrible partner, I don't know if Cam would want to risk it herself. So I, you know, if she gels with Corey over the next, like, week or something like that, and I think she would just stay put here.
The only thing I think she would do is go back to Kyle. I'm really not sure, because she does seem to like Corey, but she really seemed to like Kyle, and they had, you know, weeks and weeks of assessing the team, and I think Cam smartly cares about that. Like, she even said going into the daily, like, it's our opportunity to see how we work together. And I do believe that Leroy and Casey want to run it together and that Cam wants to run it with Kyle or Corey or whoever. I thought maybe they'd want to run together, but it does seem like that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And for Leroy and Casey, I mean, they had, like, what, that 1 week where they were separated, but other than that, like, they were partners for the jump and they've been great. They're, like, they're one of the best teams, like, partnership teams that, like, the challenge really has ever had, that how great they work together and won together. And if they can win the whole thing, it's been just a, like, it's almost like more under the radar how dominant they've been because of some of the other storylines that have been more of a focal point, and because that each of them aren't, like, a huge, like, personality type, like, to take over the screen, but they've been dominant this season.
Yeah, it's been a joy to watch their growth, like, almost in the same way that when you have, like, an exes or a rival season and then those people, like, have to work together. Something we lose with the I think the partner switching's been fun, but you definitely lose, like, you know, sort of, I mean, the dynamics between Nam and Lolo, like, weren't fun after a while, but, like, part of the joy of, like, teams is that they have to figure out how to work together, right? And that's interesting television. And to see Corey and Leroy, what? Casey and Leroy, now that's a team I could get behind. To see Casey and Leroy go from, like, one of their first deliberations as the power couple, or the double agents, where Casey's like, I'm not going to tell Leroy anything. He's my partner, but I don't have to trust him. And Leroy's like, Casey's not telling me anything. She doesn't trust me. To them ending their deliberation this time with like, I love you. Like, this is the greatest partnership. So they've really grown together. And I'm happy we've gotten to see them ride this out. Hopefully we get to see them ride it out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been very fun to see. Very fun journey for them.
But, okay, I want to talk about Big T and CT and how genuine this Big T pick was for CT. Big T reminds us that CT had the choice to pick Amber and not go down as a skull. But, like, in picking her, he knows he's going to have to potentially risk going down again, and that that meant a lot to her as part of the sort of good faith effort to rebuild their relationship. Can we break that down? How likely is that? Was this a sacrifice for CT, you think?
I don't think it was a sacrifice. Yeah, it's not really a sacrifice at all for CT, but I don't think he needs to get credit for risking a sacrifice for himself. I mean, I think what he said was genuine. Like, you know, she helped me get her gold skull, and either I can really screw her over and have her be the rogue agent and she's not going to get a skull this week, and then maybe she actually won't get a gold skull, or I could do basically the bare minimum of picking her to be back as my partner and do what I can to help her get a skull. And I think that's all his probably mind was thinking, and I think that's fair for the situation.
Fool me once, shame on CT. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm on the Nisa camp of like, and this episode was much harder to read with that, but like, to me, CT picks Big T knowing she's going to go in, assuming she's going to lose. And if I go with Amber, I'm going in anyway, because Amber's going to be the number one person called out. So like, maybe part of it is like, I like Big T and I owe her and I miss her. But like, he doesn't think he's going to get stuck with her in the final, because I don't think there's a world. I think CT did really nice things by her this week, but I don't think CT thought that there was more than 1% chance that Big T would win that elimination.
But, I mean, he probably thought about it. Like, all right, so if I take Big T, she's going to get thrown in. There's a good chance it's going to be against Anissa. So it's not like he's upgrading and potentially could be downgrading. It's not like he's all of a sudden, all right, he's guaranteed to get like Natalie as his partner. Like, he was going to be stuck with Anissa probably.
I mean, I think he would assume that Anissa would pick Fessy and that would free up Nani. And then even if Nani picks Kyle, although Nani hates Kyle, Nani would probably pick CT, then he's got Nani.
I guess so. But like, it's not like he's all like this. It's not like he's falling back into like a great situation. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's as diabolical as Anissa is kind of making it out to be. Like, I mean, CT only had two choices. So he's either like really screw over Big T or try to help her. And he tried to help her. And I think that's really all there was to it.
I mean, the smoking gun to me is at the end when Kyle, and we have many questions about this, when Kyle is pitching Big T pick Fessy, and Big T says to CT, do you want to ride this out with me? CT gives the most tepid answer he possibly could without being a complete D-bag, which is like, it's up to you. If you want to pick me, I'm happy to do this with you. Right? Like, that is, we've seen CT excited about a partner. And to me, he was like, maybe this isn't a bad idea if she picks Fessy. But we've shit on CT enough. And I'm going to defend him to the death when it comes to the igloo. So good that you have a rosier view. But I think he was hoping to get a partner switch and to help CT, Big T, and to be happy for, you know, redeem their relationship. Like, I think he genuinely cares about her, but I also think he says in this episode, like, you won't win the final and this is why I left you, which is
I mean, I think for CT, like, the dream scenario is like, you know, he can kind of redeem himself a little bit, help Big T get a skull, but also he goes on to find a better partner so that way he could have a better chance of winning. I don't know how like feasible that, like, as a possibility that is, but I don't think that's that like diabolical of a way to think that way, because I think it's very logical.
I don't think it's diabolical. It's a great game move to look good and give her the opportunity which she wants and then have her lose and you get a better partner. Like, it's not the same as like Fessy going around scouting to someone to steal him, right? Even though I think that's a good game move. But I just don't think it was like pure of heart, like, I made such a like Big T was saying, like, I took such a risk by being your partner. Like, no, I think he thinks like I can help my friend, but I also shall go home.
Sure. I'm sure. Yeah, there was probably some, there was some selfish motivations in mind, for sure.
It's $1 million. I love how often that was brought up, like Leroy saying, people always say, what would you do for $1 million? This is it.
There you go. This is not even really, it's really $500,000. And then it's like half of that.
I would take that.
Oh, for sure. I'll take a Klondike bar.
I want to highlight, this is sort of, we got a lot of annoying little small scenes early on, but I want to give Anissa kudos here for this conversation with Corey, where Corey thanks her for keeping her word. And Anissa's like, you know, if you could look past the tight armpit shot they do on Corey, Anissa said, which is very distracting in like a negative way. Anissa is like, you're my friend. Like, did you doubt that? Of course. Like, you're my friend in this game, or you're just like my friend in life. And I was like, that was impressive, because Anissa knows she's going to be in a position. And now that Corey's with Cam, and again, it's not disingenuous, but I think Anissa does a good social game move here, which is like, it was a no brainer for me. And when she's going to ask Corey, hopefully, to do it for her, he'll owe her. Unfortunately, it didn't happen like that for her.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially with her kind of motivations of her social game. He called in the question by Nani that how Nani feels her social relationships more real and Nisa's a more game. Clearly, her relationship with Corey is very real. So that's why I thought it was a right move last week to help her out. Hopefully, it could have came back around. The situation didn't work itself out that way, but she definitely handled this well.
Yeah, that was so frustrating of Nani. It's like, no, your friend just happens to be in power now. That doesn't mean that Anissa doesn't also have good legitimate relationships. And in fact, I think Anissa is one of the stronger social players and is really good at building friendships. You know, Ashley is probably the number one at acquiring friends as enemies and enemies as friends, but like, right. Anissa is like known for having good relationships.
Yes, I of all the knocks on Anissa, I never would have thought like, oh, she has like fake friendships in the house. Yeah. Like, if Tori had been in the house this whole way, that would have been like a genuine friendship that would have paid off. Like, I think some of her really closer friends just got eliminated sooner than Nani's. Like, Nani just, you know, happens to have Leroy still here, so that obviously plays a big factor.
I love Kyle had a Brian-esque moment where he says, I have a lot of respect for Anissa, but it's $1 million and she hasn't got what's in her to compete and win. I just like, because that was like a little beacon of Brian, as opposed to saying,
I was wait-
go ahead.
I was waiting for like the fake expression. I thought he screwed up an expression. I thought that's what he did.
He did. She hasn't got what's in her to compete. She doesn't have it in her to compete.
Oh, okay. So I pulled the Brian on myself. I didn't even hear the wrong expression. That's how me it was. Okay.
The rare double Brian. You love to see it.
Oh man. I saw one of those Where Are They Nows of the Bad Luck Brian memes. God, looks totally different.
Very weird. Don't know the Bad Luck. Is that the guy with the backwards hat and the brown, like the
No, it's like a weird like yearbook photo of him basically. It's like a, I don't know, he seems like he's like 15 in the photo.
Oh, the blonde guy?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, is he blonde? I don't remember. But he was like a weird, he's like an odd looking dude. And maybe he's still like kind of an odd looking dude.
An onlooking dud? I'm just being a jerk now. All right. Let's talk about the moment of levity in the episode itself. This hall brawl training with CT and
Incredible.
Big T.
Incredible. And I loved, first, the two things I loved. I loved Kyle being like, the CT thinks he's trying to sabotage her by like getting her hurt or something like that. That was very funny. And then CT's motivations, the Big T be like, this is why I left you, you're a layup. That was great. Very funny.
If it were up for auction, like, you know how we used to auction spots on the podcast for like for Michigan, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If this was an auction item, hall brawl training with CT from the challenge, how fast is your account being closed for overdraw fees?
Yeah, put that, like, that will give Cameo. Well, that should be his Cameo. He doesn't send you videos. He sends you all ball trainings, and he'll be a millionaire many times over.
There's something so, like, it's like when they bring in Cochran on Survivor to, like, consult as the expert, like, as a reward. Like, Boston Rob and Sandra, like, on the Island of the Idols. Like, CT's still in the game, and yet you can have this, like, iconic moment where, like, the expert of the challenge is training like the new guard. It was really, I got emotional when Big T jumped on the plane. I got emotional here. It was a roller coaster this episode.
Yeah, and it worked. Like she was knocking them over by the time it was done. So the those motivations, they did the jerk.
I loved CT being like, "It's because you're not mad enough," and then he's just like, "No, it's not."
Oh, I thought I was like the dodgeball seat of like the little quiet guy. You gotta get angry. You gotta get mad.
It's just so cute because like CT doesn't need to put pillows and crap to fall onto the mattress knocked over by Big D. You know what I mean? Like I just love getting into the fake protective gear. But that was almost too soon when he's like, "That's why I left you." Like a little too soon for me if I'm Big D.
Well, I think that was the biggest hit of the whole sequence right after he said that one. I think there was some real anger there.
I Big T takes all of this like a champ though, honestly, because like she uses it to get mad and bowl him over, but like I would really get mad in that moment. I'd be like, you don't get to say that. I like let's go
just,
lay like,
punch him in the, just to punch him in the face and all of a sudden like what the hell is going on.
I'm snatching wigs. CT does later. I just saw Fessy in my notes and I shuddered and just shut down mentally and physically.
Can't have that. Fessy, yeah, this was the start of Fessy's cockiness coming out of like CT's better days behind him.
The start of this episode.
the first time he's on camera.
You and I have had the conversation that CT needs time off, right? Like I said that a few seasons ago. I think I formally took it back on this season, like a few episodes ago when he had the Cam Helpers. Mm-hmm. So far be it from me to say Fessy doesn't have a right to be talking about whether or not CT is overrated. But CT is like family to me in that I can talk shit about him, but you can't. Like I was like, mm-hmm. I was getting so mad. I had to take to Twitter while I was watching this episode to defend CT. Like CT needs my defense. I was really impacted by Fessy. Mm-hmm. Not so much this part. I mean, this was annoying, but when he starts really poking him, I was upset.
See, it's funny. I liked it because I was so bad at Fessy's like one confessional of the whole thing where he was like trying to backtrack it. Because this is what I want Fessy to be a villain. And this will get him to be a villain. Just like be this cocky asshole that people hate, but hate within the context of the show. And what I loved about their fight, with all the horrible stuff that we see on reality TV, the fact that this was a fight, not about like race shit and sexism, and like this was just a pure like challenge argument, and it was just so, brought me back to like old school fights that was so more enjoyable to watch, and I love this version. I want Fessy to be this. Be the top dog, pretend you're the top dog without winning, and just like, try to back it up, but if you fail, this will be entertaining. But be this villain. And I love that for him. But he doesn't. And then in the confession, he's like, "Oh, I was trying to compliment them, blah, 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 blah." Just be the villain.
So what you're saying is if one of them had said, like, "I hope the apple fell far from the tree because your dead dad would be not proud of you," you think that would be outside the bounds of the challenge, right?
It would be not an enjoyable
is that
fight
what you're saying?
To watch. It would be not an enjoyable. This would not be an enjoyable fight to watch. That's what I'm saying. And this was an enjoyable fight in the context of the show.
So I'm having a. So that makes you make a great point. And I suffered, but I enjoy. It ignited a spark in me to tweet. Mm-hmm. CT, the challenge was built on CT's back, literally. Like, I was really fired up about it. And in that way, I was more engaged than I have been in a while, in a few episodes, right? Right. So you make a great point from a TV perspective. I question why when Devin does stuff like this, right? Like, there's not much different than Devin's attitude towards Josh than Fessy's towards CT. In fact, Devin's definitely more like verbally abusive and rude and low blows and, you know, all of that. And Fessy didn't go there at all. What about, I'm trying to really hone in on like, what about the Fessy of it all offends me. Some of it has to be my bias towards the target, right? Like, I'm defensive of CT and I'm not defensive of Josh. So that's part of it. Part of it is sort of the punching across, punching down, punching up of it all, where like anyone Devin gets on, Devin's like as bad or worse than them physically. So like, it's almost hilarious, you know? Not that excuses right. it, but just if I'm going into my own mind.
Yeah, I think a couple of the differences for me between like for the Devin and Josh thing, that like the biggest thing about why I find Devin more likable than Josh is their self-awareness. Like the fact that Devin is self-aware to understand his place in the game, where Josh is just like delirious about his level of standing in the game, makes like them so different and why I'm always going to be more lean team Devin. And then the difference here is for Fessy, he could, you know, talk all this crazy stuff that obviously he was way off base about it with CT, but at least, you know, if you put them into like a physical match, like it would be like, I don't think I necessarily agree that from Leroy's perspective that CT would wipe the floor with him. I think there are scenarios where Fessy probably could beat CT in elimination, especially, I mean, maybe not CT like 10 years ago, but CT is, you know, he's like 40 years old, 30, 38 years old, whatever he is now. So there's a fair battle there where we could see it go either way, and I would like to see it. So the fact that they're physical nature can match up between CT and Fessy, like that's a good pairing. And then if Josh's self-awareness would catch up, that would be a good pairing with Devin.
So yeah, no, 100%. I understand why I like Devin over Josh. It's my question of why I give Devin a pass for worse behavior and get annoyed with Fessy, right? Like that's sort of where my exploration has been. I agree with what you're saying. I think what frustrates me about Fessy is that Fessy is so high on himself, and Fessy performs well. Don't get me wrong, but Fessy has been behind in terms of who's been power couples. And now maybe he would blame his partners for that, mm-hmm. whatever. But you know, Casey had the opportunity to pick him and didn't. Anissa stole him, but she also stayed with him. But I take Fessy's point that CT probably was puffing his chest and blowing smoke and saying, I'm going to be picked. And CT got humbled this season because, look, he passed mm-hmm. over Cam. We've gotten on CT for it. But it's just like for Fessy to come so hot when Fessy performed so cold in his only final performance. And I do think you're right that Fessy largely has potential to back it up physically. But it's like the way he says, and the self-awareness thing is important, is like jogging me on that, because when he says to him in the igloo, like, if it's running and not 3.5 feet of snow, then I have it all day. And it's like, well, guess what, CT? This isn't track and field. I'm sorry. Guess what, Fessy? This isn't track and field. This is the GD challenge, and you have to be flexible mm-hmm. and adaptable. And sometimes you're going to be climbing mountains. Like, he acts like that was unfair. And that pisses me off too, because you're not going to get the perfect challenge that you want. And guess what? You're going to have to run with a partner, and every single person's telling us you're a terrible partner. And that matters. So basically it's all personal that I'm annoyed that he came for CT like that. And I think though what Leroy was saying is not necessarily, he says he'll like beat the crap out of you and he's better than you at this game and he'll beat the crap out of you. I thought Leroy literally meant he will physically attack you in this igloo. Like, he will get his hands on you and kill you. But who knows?
Oh, if we're talking street fight, CT's a huge favorite over Fessy. Absolutely. No question about that.
I love Nani's line, like, Fessy's the kind of guy who hires a hitman, CT just like rips you apart with his bare hands.
That was like the smartest thing I think Nani's like ever said on the show. That was like her. That was like, I don't know where that came from. That was like, I can't believe that came from her. That was so brilliant. I couldn't have put it any better.
Oh my God. Be ruder about giving her that compliment. Holy shit. That's the smartest thing she's ever said. And it's like maybe like a 5 out of 10 on intelligence scale. I couldn't believe it came from her. Holy crap. Mean. I can't get over mean. It.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nani.
Nani's got a Nani. I think Nani has a read on who people are. I'll say that. Generous.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I sorry, someone asked Shelby, I think. I'll get to the we're all over the place, but I think this is good. I will. Shelby Heinmiller said, basically, like, was this CT and Fessy fight, do you think it was setting up an elimination that they're going to go against, or is it just sort of looking towards the final?
I don't think it's too late in the game. I think there's only going to be one more elimination. So, I mean, the show was going to show this. So, I think that they were just fighting. I don't think it's necessarily setting up anything other than, like, maybe a future season, like, fight or something like that. But I don't think it's necessarily, like, foreshadowing something for this season.
Yeah. Part of me is like how CT says, like, yeah, I'm going to get riled up when somebody like questions me being past my prime. And I almost feel that way too. Like, Fessy has a very good chance to just beat CT in the average elimination, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably quicker than him. Whatever CT beat Josh on, Fessy could probably beat CT. Who knows in a hall brawl how physical it would get and if Fessy could just outrun him. I don't know. But, like, it would definitely not be an easy elimination for CT. But in that sense, I'm more defensive because, like, I don't want him to come for him. But yeah. But, like, that's how I should feel. We should be rooting for our favorite people. We should be feeling defensive of these characters. Like, that's a good season of the challenge when you're feeling connected to these people.
Yeah, and of course, some of the stuff he was saying was just absolutely preposterous. Or, I mean, CT won literally two seasons ago and was like a star showing in the final and did so much stuff. So, and he was like, oh, who was even part of that season? It was like basically everyone that was part of this season was part of that season.
Yeah, better people. Not personally, but Jordan, Rogan, like some very physical people. I know Rogan and CT were on the same team, but.
Even back in the day, like the knock on the chat, like the top echelon guys have always been very strong. If just nowadays, like, the women are much stronger than they used to be, and like the bottom tier women and men are both stronger than they used to be. Like, but you know, 10 years ago, you're talking like Landon and old school Durrell, and like those people would, you know, you transplant them now, they're top dogs too. So that argument also made no sense.
Well, that was also, I was popping out of my sofa because Fessy clearly has never watched the goddamn show. And like, stop coming for this guy's wig, literally, when you haven't seen a single episode that you're talking about. And that's like the complete opposite. And I feel like Fessy has tricked us before in confessionals. And I think we've like talked about him having some Nelson-esque moments. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
But nothing was clearer to me than that all being bullshit than him at this club.
Yeah.
What he was saying.
Unless he knew he was lying and just wanted to needle him. But I'm not giving Fessy that much credit.
Yeah, he doesn't have that mental skill set.
No.
Kudos to Fessy, though, because he riled CT up in a way that anyone would get riled by and then made him look like a fool as a result, right? That's what made me think of Devin. It's sort of the Devin-Josh tactic. Devin knows what will push Josh's buttons, and then he just lets Josh look stupid for getting upset while staying perfectly clear. Like, that is what Fessy did to CT. But, like, I was getting mad, too. I can get loud, too. I was mad.
They should have known something was going to happen. Anytime you're wearing any type of like costumes and stuff like that, that's when the real challenge fights happen. So the second like a wig we're on, the tutu, like that's when the fights happen.
Who would have thought that CT would have two iconic wig related reveal memorable moments in the challenge history? Very different, obviously. But
yep.
What an homage.
Mm-hmm.
But all right. Whatevs, we have some questions about this. Patrick says, I just needed to point out that the best part of the CT Fessy fight was Corey clearly stoking the flames in the background while imitating both of them. I also saw Big T making fun of them in the background. That was hilarious. Great Mitch watch action there.
Yeah, that was great. But and then Anissa with the confessional, like, oh, look at these fun sponges taking this down. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, the club scenes have been atrociously bad most of the time. This was like one of the few instances where there was like something to talk about. So Anissa, no, this was fun for us.
I agree. That fell out of place. Like, when that confessional popped up, I thought she was going to be like, look at these idiots and like have a funny like making fun of them thing. But to just complain that they were fighting was I couldn't relate.
Do you know what show you're on, Anissa? Come on.
Let's talk about the 80s night costumes. I wish they did more themes, honestly, although you think they did. Whatever night you were like, what theme was it? And I was like, this is just people going out.
I think I thought it was an 80s night a couple weeks ago, so I guess I was just ahead of the times.
I feel like they used to do a lot more fun stuff like this, or like people would do like random games in the house and they might show it. But I love the little fashion show segment. We got any standout looks from the 80s fashion show?
I like people's commentary. I think, what was it? I think Kyle had like a good look and was being mocked. I don't know. I thought they all kind of fit the theme very well. I thought they went strong.
Yeah, I think, well, they, Corey said like Fessy has no idea what an 80s party is supposed to be. Corey giving me life in his outfit. And I thought Casey too, coming in strong with the, those are my top two looks of the night, because I know people were dying to know.
Did also you ask CT what a fashion correspondent Molly Block had to say about it?
I did. Well, she, fashion correspondent Molly Block did identify some notable fashion in this episode, but not the 80s party. So we'll get to
interesting
that.
Okay, put a pin in it.
I guess we skipped the challenge,
which was I think not just the best challenge of the season, this is one of the best challenges that they've ever done. I think
that's a wild take.
Wow. I thought when they were doing this, I'm like, this is crazy that they're like, this is, they were jumping out of a plane and solving a, like, this was, I think, I don't know, I think we take for granted some of the stuff that they do, because this was unbelievable that they're like just jumping out of, like, this was so cool.
Well, they've done that before on the challenge.
But like normally they jump out of a plane just for like the show of it. Like, they don't have to necessarily do anything. Like, they had to like solve a puzzle while falling out of a plane. Like, that's crazy.
So let me not be the Debbie Downer on the challenge. I liked this challenge a lot because, to me, I feel like in more recent seasons of the challenge, there's always that sort of final daily, I mean, I guess it's not gonna be the final daily, but that sort of like end of the road daily that has like the zip line where you're holding on the boat or whatever, like you're water skiing and then you have to jump off, where there's time for reflection and they give that time to the cast to like talk about it. That I loved. I loved seeing Big T, and I did have the same reaction of like, this is incredible that all of them, with very little hesitation, jumped out of a freaking plane. Like, these people right. don't play. I would not do it. Big T had honestly no reason to do it, but we can talk about that later. Like, I really mm-hmm. thought it was not lost on me. I enjoyed it. I thought that was extremely cool, and I liked the retrospective as we get to the end of the season. Here's where it falls apart to me. Unclear to me that you actually had to look at the puzzle on the way down. Because they all land next to the puzzle. You could see that. They're like, you could only see it from the sky. They could absolutely see it.
I don't know. I thought it was like lifted up enough that like you can't see it.
Oh, it was flat on the ground.
Maybe like once you land, like you can't, like you have to run, like you get away from it.
They all stood right next to the puzzle while they waited for everyone else to land. But who knows, right?
Yum.
No, I just yummed the whole thing. I said it was great. I loved it. But in terms of calling it the best challenge, we said, like, okay, here's my, like, we got a question from the audience about it. My notes are all bamboozled today. I mean, I'll call the person out when I find the question. The question is basically, my question too, is like, when does the time start? Like, the jumping out of the plane. I get it that if you actually have to look at the puzzle in those 5 to 7 minutes, yes, I Googled how long skydiving takes because I was like, this seems like no one's struggling to remember the puzzle. But they like stand there and then it seems like time started. So it was literally just like clearly. A very quick foot race.
Yeah, clearly the time starts, unless you're Anissa or Big T. The time starts once you start running. That's the
but
time.
You say clearly, to me, that's a big detractor from the challenge because, well, okay, Rushi asked that question.
I think that's a plus because a lot of the times, like, it's like a weird thing of like, well, it's based off like how quickly like production takes off your stuff and how you land, which obviously is not under their control and stuff like that. So I think the fact that like the jumping out of the plane portion was kind of separate and the time was running and solving the puzzle that you had to memorize, I'd like that even better.
No. Sorry. So I'm absolutely not saying the time should have started when they jump out of the plane for all of the reasons that you said. They'd also have to have separate, like, you know, the last person out. It makes no sense. But it doesn't, to me, the memorizing of the puzzle, the suspect that it was on the ground, that they could see it. Maybe if they truly couldn't see the puzzle, then fine. But otherwise, to me, it just felt the same throwaway of the other times they jumped out of the plane, where it doesn't actually matter for the challenge. And the fact that nobody struggled with the puzzle, to me, raised a little suspicion.
We only really saw two teams do it, though.
CT did it.
CT did it, no problem, but some of the other ones didn't even try.
I really like this challenge, and I thought it's perfect for this, especially when, guess what, the winner doesn't even matter. So, like, I'd rather have something cool to watch and something that tugs your heartstrings and something that you're rooting for Big T, and you're mad at CT for yelling at Big T after she just triumphed over this. Like, it added a lot of interest to an episode that shouldn't have been interesting. But from a competitive standpoint, like, if the winner mattered, I would be like, eh. Okay, it was basically a foot race and then doing the colors.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. So, I'm sticking for it.
So, this is what's so crazy. It's like, I'm being painted into this corner to be like, I didn't like it. I loved it, too. I enjoyed watching it.
And I think there were stakes because, obviously, Big T was going to be going in. But, I mean, if Anissa wins this week, there's, like, chaos amongst everyone else. Now, all of a sudden, like, basically, Leroy's going to have to choose between Cam and Nani, which would have just been incredible. Like, I mean, he would have had to choose Cam, bro. Like,
that's not incredible. Like,
that would have been great. Well, it would have been great TV to watch that go down.
So, I mean, you're really, but just, like, so sky high on these crazy things that you're making me look like the Grim Reaper here. But, I'm sorry, Anissa, if it's a foot race, there are no stakes. And, like, there was no way she was going to win that. But to your point, okay, let's say her and Kyle do win. There's just no world where there's any interest at all in who Leroy and Cam are voting for. Like, there's no world Leroy is voting for Cam. And there's no world Nani would expect him to vote for Cam. It's, like, so obvious that Cam is Leroy's number one justifiably that it would have just been like, I get it. I'm out of luck. Like, that's a shame. And that would have been it. There would have been no, you think Nani would be like, Leroy, we've known each other 10 years, vote in your girlfriend?
I don't think so, but I think it still would have been very interesting to watch it play out personally.
Say more. I'm curious.
I think watching Nani like have to come face to face with Leroy voting her in right at the edge of a final would have just been devastating after everything, like the decade-long friendship that they had. And not to say, like, I totally agree, like, that's what he would have done, but like, that would have been very compelling television, I feel like, to watch for Nani to face that.
I will leave it to the commenters. I just don't. There's no... Nani would be the most vile person to even get upset. Like, she would cry probably for, like, yeah, like, this sucks, there's nothing you could do, and I'm... In the same way, Anissa was like, this always happens to me. It's ripped away at the end. But I think we would have watched 20 minutes of Stretched Out. Honestly, like we did this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you guys let us know if you think Leroy having to vote with his girlfriend would have been compelling television.
Yes.
I'm setting myself up. But that's the craziest take I think you've had in 6 years of doing this with me. Almost seven.
Wow. That's a big bar.
Okay, Brian, I've known you 7 years. If we were on a show and your wife was on the other team, I know I'm not a sister to you, but there's no world where I would even be remotely surprised or upset if you voted with your wife over me. You know, like, it's just like there's no you don't have, you should take $1 million from me every time and give it to your wife. No doubt.
I know, but I think it would have like for Leroy and Nani's relationship, how badly they each want each other to win, to have them be put in that position, I think would have been interesting.
Leroy does not want Nani to win. And that's the annoying ass shit about this season, right? Is like, oh, if it can't be me and it can't be Cam, then I want it to be Leroy. And Anissa wants it to be Corey and Corey wants it to be her. It's like, get over it. All you guys want to do is win yourself. There's bullshit for the confessionals. You don't want Nani to win more than you want you or Cam to win.
No, definitely not.
He wants her to be there, but not. Okay, but not over my wife.
Sure. I'm not saying like he wouldn't have voted for her. I just think it would have been interesting to see it happen.
I don't like to see Nani cry again. And that's all it would happen. Anyway, Molly Block texts me and tell me how ridiculous Brian's being right now. I'll get off his back.
oh, man.
I guess... there's anything else coming out of the challenge for you?
CT's upsetness with Big T and Anissa walking for a half mile race kind of stand out, I guess, right?
Yeah. No surprise. I mean, see, yeah, CT's a jerk again. Like, again, like, I don't know what he's, what the purpose of this is, except that he's just purely angry.
Yeah, he needs to learn to channel his anger better and not do it in such a public setting. Like, that's clearly what it is. Like, he's, I'm sure he has every right to be upset knowing, like, probably not going to win. But, like, don't blow up in public to, you know, take down your partner. Channel it. Wait till you get back in the house. And if you want to be upset, do it in private or something. Don't do it in public.
Yeah, I mean, but if CT suddenly started to have emotional control, I mean, it's been for 14 years. But, yeah, no, it's humiliating. And a Big T, again, handles herself extremely well. Where CT completely fails again. Annie Abrams says, was it just me or was it amazing to watch Fessy freak out before the dive? Obviously, it's terrifying, but he thinks he's so big and so bad that watching him be so scared was a highlight.
Yes, that was very funny. He was like, so he seemed like he was so cool, calm, collected. And the second he was about to be pushed out, he acted like how I would have reacted. Like, oh, my God, I'm about to be chucked out of a plane. This is terrifying. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I exactly. Like, I wouldn't even do it. So kudos for Fessy for doing it. But he was so annoying to Big T. Like, oh, the plane's so high before they went up. And then he's like more afraid than she is when they actually push comes to shove. This is what Molly texted me about when Corey's getting out of the plane and he just screams out, Ryder, Mila, I love you. And then later is, or before, I forget when, is wearing a shirt that says, like, in case you forgot why I'm doing this for, the picture of baby Ryder.
He's a... really swerving right into that one.
We love it. I mean, there's a chance he's going to die. So good to have that clip in the event that you die.
Yeah. Good to go out on that, I guess.
But all right. I guess this is really the one thing also, again, self-awareness is really the theme here. Anissa blaming Kyle, like, I only stopped running because you stopped is. Yeah. Come on. Come on, friend. Yeah. You make it tough.
I mean, this was a real, I mean, like, this was as bad of an episode as you could have, like, from start to finish for Anissa. Like, the fact that, you know, first she's complaining about people fighting in the club, like,
first, the most egregious.
She stops during a challenge and then blames her partner. And he's like, I was just waiting for you. Because obviously, if he did the opposite and just ran ahead of her, she would have been so pissed about that, too. So, I mean, Anissa, like, it's a half mile. Like, like, you're on the challenge. You should be able to do that. She obviously, with the elimination performance, was very bad. Like, this was just, this was a rough showing. Rough showing for Anissa.
But all right. So we talked about the glue. The glue. Cha-cha-cha. Oh, we had another question. I moved it. What is going on with me today? I'm having quite of an Anissa day.
oh, boy.
Basically, someone asked if... and I'll find it wherever I put it, thinking I was going to help myself. Oh, Kareem Clark. Have you ever wanted to see anyone Zach a final more than Fessy? Well, Zach, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how his big talk plays out. And Nadia again talking about how Fessy's this bad partner. Like, that just, that, there's like too much hint of that, that it's not going to come into play during the final. So I think people are going to see it.
So, from the TV perspective, Brian, because I'm emotional over here. Because I think you're right. If Fessy flames out in a final again, how does that impact him, do you think? Like, do you think he still shows up? Or do you think, like, the same attitude? Or you think it humbles him a little bit? Does he make excuses? Like, what should we be rooting for to happen if we want the Fessy villain storyline to continue?
I think from a show's perspective, I think the, like, taking out the fact that the entire planet wants Leroy to win, putting that aside, for the show going forward, I think Fessy winning would be far better to have, like, this guy who's been talking a lot of crap and people all think he's, like, people are stealing him to think he's the best, and then he goes and backs it up and wins. And now we, like, is Top Dog going into next season amongst the guys? I think that's far and away the best and most intriguing storyline. I think if he flames out here, like, people in the house don't think as highly of him. He doesn't have that compelling person. He tries to show, but doesn't have that compelling personality to kind of build that back up. So he's going to then have to wait a whole nother season to see if he can win. So I think far and away, him winning was like the best thing for the show for next season.
No, no. We can't even be putting that into the atmosphere. But I don't think he has to win for everything you're saying to be true. I think he just has to perform well, right? Like, I don't think he has to beat Leroy. But I think if he times out, gasses out, comes in last of the four or five, then that's a problem for him. But what's ironic is Fessy benefits from the same benefit of the doubt that he claims CT does. And CT does. Like, the legacy of CT still resonates. Like, the bananas backpack is still what you think of with CT, and no one wants to face him in elimination, even though he got beat by Jay, right? Like, he's not had he's had a lot of good moments over the past few years, but he's clearly different than he used to be in his prime, obviously. And that does still, I think, carry quite a bit of weight where people don't want to see him in elimination, even though they probably could. Like, Leroy would beat CT in the same thing he beat, God, whoever he beat in that, the fire thing that they just did this week. You know, like,
I think it was Jay, right? Wasn't it Jay?
Yeah, it was Jay. But like, Leroy would smoke CT in that 100%. But Leroy still doesn't want to see CT in elimination. Probably 70%, I was going to say like 30-35% because of just historic him being CT. Fessy benefits from the same thing. Fessy didn't really show up and show out at the final. And yet everybody just thinks because he's the biggest and most athletic looking and talks himself up to be the most athletic, everyone wants to work with him. So the irony that neither of them 100% back it up, but are both respected, feared, coveted is, you know, not lost on me.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting how Fessy's star, amongst the other people, I feel like, is dropping throughout the season. Even though he's still getting stolen, like in the beginning of the season, we didn't hear people complaining about him as a partner. And I wonder, all this talk about him being a bad partner, if it's another partner season next year, how that also affects how people in the house perceive him. Because people watching have one perception, but the people in the house clearly still think he's the strongest. That's why he's being stolen to be his partner. So if his being a bad partner resonates in the final even more, that might really stick with him, and then that will really change how people view him in the house.
I think we're only getting the talk about Fessy being a bad partner in confessionals, so part of me wonders, like, how much is that sort of like revisionist history? Like, we're not hearing like Anissa and Fessy and Nani talk in the house about it, right? Like, I feel like every single time has been a confessional about it.
I mean, I think maybe Nani has one or two, but yes, most of them are definitely in confessional for sure.
And the other thing is like, not to take away from Fessy's athletic ability, like 100%, like Fessy is an athlete, not saying he's not. But you also have to take into consideration that some people, like Nani, right, when she's picking a new partner, is not going to upset the apple cart with Leroy and Casey, and is not going to piss off Leroy and Cam by upsetting Cam's pair. So like, of course she's going to pull Fessy. Like, Fessy also, and I've gave him credit for this before, is campaigning, making himself available, making these people feel wanted in a way that Leroy and Casey, Kyle and Cam, Corey and Cam, everyone and Cam, CT and Cam were not doing, and making himself pickable. So part of it is like, he's also he's the best option for sure, who is freely available and willing to switch.
Yes, I think that's right. That's right. And he's even like pushed himself to switch. So he's doubly put himself out there.
And that, to take away from CT, would have applied to CT absolutely when he was with Big T. So the fact that people didn't pick, but like, again, I don't underestimate how much Fessy making these women feel wanted as a partner contributed to them wanting to pick him.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. The deliberation was hard to watch. I felt bad for Anissa. I think she took CT's scot-free comment out of context, but generally it must be tough to be Anissa in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. She was obviously hurt, and she was, you know, any little comment she could have picked up on would have hurt her even more, especially she feels, you know, CT, them two have been around the block from the show for a while, and it probably hurt even more thinking that he is talking shit about her. So yeah, she was in a rough spot.
And I thought Anissa's like attempt to stay out of elimination was solid, to say like, you know, voted Nani. The hard part was like your own partner doesn't want wants you to go in. So he's not even going to vote with you. And then CT doesn't want Big T to win, I don't think. And Big T has a better shot against Nani than Anissa. So Big T's not going to go with that plan. CT's not going to go with that plan. Like, to me, the logic that CT lays out earlier when they're talking to Kyle about who the partner, like, basically saying you're going to go against Anissa, they say Nani's your friend, so you don't want to go against her. What?
Yeah, I mean, Anissa was... Yeah, Anissa was drawing dead, basically, for a while in this episode, for sure. She had to win. Like, she had to win.
What do you make of Leroy saying that Anissa's coming to the tail end of her challenge career?
I think it's probably right. I think so, right? At a certain point, I feel like it's got to reach the end at some point, and definitely not in the front end of it, so it's probably the tail end.
I don't know. Look, Anissa would not surprise me any day for her to be like, I'm not coming back. I'm retiring. I'm done. But if I'm Anissa, why would I stop coming back? I think there's no reason for them to stop asking her back because I think she brings something really unique. She brings confessionals. She brings reactions. She brings commentary that a lot of people can't bring. That's just, you know, one podcaster's opinion. And like, so what if she embarrasses herself and goes out? But she also does last and she's strategic. So like, why wouldn't she just keep showing up and cashing these checks?
Yeah, unless she just wants to be a full-time Challenge All-Star person and just land on that show going forward. But I don't see why she won't just do both. Look, if she gets the call, she's not saying no. So it's up to the, if she's not on the show anymore, it's because the show is not going to call her.
But all right, we get to the crater. We get another, like, it could be a guy's day from Kyle, which is just like, at least it wasn't a fake out from TJ, but I did love, and this is why you love Anissa. Like, Anissa's face when Kyle puts his arm around her is just chef's kiss, worth the price of admission. She gives, like, if looks could kill, Kyle would be still on the floor of the crater.
Yeah, it was very funny also when Leroy and Casey were in the bunker or whatever, and they saw the votes, and they were like, who did Kyle vote for?
And they knew, himself. Like, he voted for his own team.
Like, oh, he voted for himself. What a douchewad.
But going into this elimination, when you see it's Fire Escape, third time seeing it, didn't remember its name was Fire Escape. Who did you think was going to win here?
I mean, this is far and away Big T's best shot, because this was the most endurance type thing, especially like if you can't like get it started. Like, the momentum was the key to this. So if you can't get it started, like, anyone could really get this done. So this is clearly Big T's best shot. And I mean, I still thought Anissa would be able to win because I did think you would need to have more. I thought she had more physicality to like push herself going back and forth. But I mean, it was not even like once it started, it was like, OK, well, Anissa lost.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Big T's best shot. But I also thought they both have poor endurance. Like, in this challenge, Big T seemed to struggle as much as Anissa in the run. So I didn't think Big T had this level of endurance. But again, we sort of started with this. Kudos. Big T not only won, but absolutely smoked at least Anissa. We don't know how long it took, as you said, but really, really smoked Anissa.
Yeah, I mean, this was great for her. I mean, we thought, at least for me, I thought her upside was just being like kind of what we saw when she won that daily like a while ago, like just being like a fun power player that every once in a while will get power, but not really a real threat to win. But, you know, if she could win some eliminations, and I mean, she's got not a zero shot to win the whole thing. So that's a lot higher than I thought she had going into this season. So, I mean, this, what a show, what a season for Big T. Just incredible.
What a season for Big T. Anissa goes out here. Highlighting that there are no women left who are not women of color. Definitely something worth highlighting. Again, MTV showing time and time again how you can do diversity and casting on reality television to make a sick ass show. Absolutely. And really,
it was interesting
cool.
that she pointed out, like, it was when she was like, now that I'm leaving, like, it's all different. Like, it was like that before that, like, after the last women's eliminations, it was like that. Like, it almost would have been cooler for Anissa to have had that able to, if the show could show her recognizing that while she was still part of it, like, it sucked that they had to recognize that she was leaving, like, as one of, like, the originals of the show, that they waited for her to be eliminated. It would have been cooler if she was, like, part of the show still. And, like, look at all, like,
yeah,
the remaining women are all diverse.
I mean, I think it just narratively makes more sense here on her way out, where she's sort of saying, like, I'm sure she noticed it before, and maybe it just was like, because she says earlier, like, I paved the way for half the women here. Like, I've been doing this all before you existed. Like, don't come for me right now. And then she goes out saying, like, this is what I wanted. I was a part of it. And I'm at peace leaving because at least the winner will, you know, represent me and represent the season. And, you know, I thought that was a nice note for Nisa to leave on.
It was even amongst the guys. I mean, it's a very diverse final 10.
All right, let's talk about Kyle's little plan here. Telling Big T to pick Fessy to break up the alliance. Otherwise, it will just be Kyle and Amber against CT and Big T next week.
Yeah, so for Kyle's perspective, because obviously this doesn't really help his position at all. Like, he's still going to be kind of stuck, right? So he's just trying to... Like, why does Kyle want this so badly? How does this help Kyle to, like, push Big T to do this?
Well, why do you say he'd be stuck? Let's say that if Big T picks Fessy, I think there's a non-zero chance that, especially with the confessionals we've gotten from Nani, that Nani picks Kyle.
So Nani would pick... Yeah, okay. Actually, no, that is... All right. That's a good point. So then, yeah, Kyle would be safe with Nani, with Leroy. Okay. So yeah, so that makes sense then for Kyle, that it would help him actually a lot. Okay, so all right.
And then knowing that they'd put Fessy and Big T into the elimination, right? Like, but although Big T and Fessy are, I'm sorry, Big T and Kyle are legitimately close. So I actually thought, again, Kyle's out here with the freaking plans and the scheming to, like, actually be playing the challenge. And the relationships are, like, you know, they're very nice to watch. And they add something different, you know, not necessarily worse, just different. But, like, that's a decent plan. And I think he is right that Big T and CT will be a target as long as they're a pair. And maybe she doesn't really care because she assumes it's a men's day or something. I don't really know what. My brother wants to know, can you justify, how do you rationalize Big T's pick to keep CT as her partner?
I guess out of loyalty. Like, she just has a sense of loyalty that other people don't have in the show, that no matter the fact that she got screwed over by him, she is a loyal person and wants to, she doesn't want to screw him over the way that he screwed her over.
I mean, for better or worse, I think CT does bring out the best at his best, brings out the best in CT, in Big T, in a way that Fessy, like, provably does not in his partners. And I do think Big T needs to feel sort of wanted and cared about in a partnership, as most people would. And I think that's why she asked CT, like, do you want to be my partner? Sort of a trick question. Like, what can he really say?
Because imagine if he was like, no. Like, oh, okay.
But yeah,
well, I guess I could have put it past him.
It's also like, what? Okay, she picks Fessy. I think that's sort of understood by Nani, but Fessy seems like a nightmare to work with. If she, and that's not even really breaking it. Like, if you pick Corey, the other thought I had was, like, maybe she picks Corey because they did work together that one time. But that frees up Cam to reunite with Kyle. Like, I don't hate this pick for Big T.
No, I mean, the real way to, like, for Big T to, like, truly protect yourself would have been if, like, Leroy was available. Like, taking Leroy in the spot would have been the clear choice here. You got, like, a great partner and, like, the most protected person in the house, I think. Like, that would have been the choice. But obviously that wasn't on the table.
Well, yeah, because they're the power couple.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, the question for me with that, again, is, like, how mad is someone when you break up their team? Like, If Leroy was on the table and Big T keeps Leroy, to get mad at her would be to so deeply disrespect her that you become in the wrong. Unless you're Casey. It doesn't really feel like Casey's vibe to really get mad about it.
No, I mean, this close to a final, though, I feel like this is where just like you could see people being more upset, being like, I had a great partner. Now, right before a final, I'm more screwed. So, I mean, I think we could have seen more angry reactions depending upon the what partner was getting switched. But like we said, with, I mean, Nani would have been happy to lose Fessy. Leroy and Casey weren't on the table. There was no real scenario for that to play out.
Here's an interesting question going forward. Josh Abbott, does CT switch partners if he wins another elimination?
See, I think it's kind of a moot question because I don't think we're getting another partner switch elimination, right? Like, I think next week is going to be the last one before the final. And I have to believe it's a partner versus partner elimination. And one partner, like, the team's just going to be eliminated. And that's how we're going to get to the final. So, like, it's a great question. And I think it's a moot question.
I agree with you because I think, and I technically took this from the questions last week, because I thought it would be interesting to talk about, but to say to Josh, he did not ask it this week. I don't think we get the confessional of CT for the like 50th time saying he would reluctantly ride it out with her if there's another switch for him coming, you know, like at that point, it's like, that to me felt like begrudgingly, but that this was locked in, whether they make it to the final or not, that he's not going to be switched again.
Yeah, he's here. They're here.
But TJ, they may be here. They're not there at the final because TJ says we are far from done. Aaron says, would you like to see the ability to swap partners in the final or rather see whoever you end up going into the final with is your partner the entire time? Let's speculate. We're not getting the final next week, but when we do, what do you think about that question?
I really hope they stick with their partner through the final because of how much importance they put through the season on these partner switching and finding a good partner and chemistry and how all this stuff that they've really stressed the importance of who your partner is, that if you can then just go willy-nilly and start switching during the final, it kind of just like kills so much of this season.
Annie Abrams says, is Cam the one who will break the Corey curse? Besides her great edit, I think there's something to the fact that she has such confidence warranted and her puzzle math skills absolutely mean she doesn't need input from Corey on that front. Do you think this pair can take it home?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now amongst these five, I think it's, for me, it's clearly Leroy, Casey, one, Cam, Corey, two. Like, and that, like, a clear 1-2, and then the rest of them are 3-4-5, but I think those are clearly a 1-2 for me.
It's a clear 1-2, but I love Corey, but I do think there's a bit of distance between Cam and Corey and Leroy and Casey. I know you said it's a 1-2, like, I think it's like a 1.
Yeah, 1-2. Gap 2.
It's a 1 deep breath 2, and then it's like an inhale for 5, out for 5, 3-4-5.
Yeah, and I think it's probably inhale for 3 and 4, and then another inhale for Kyle and Amber. I think.
I think Kyle and Amber will. I mean, look, far be it for me to disrespect Big T, but I think Big CT is the team that would struggle the most right now with endurance. Like, I think Amber can run.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it depends on the structure of a final. If it's, you know, how much, you know, checkpoints and stuff like that are involved and how much they play a role in it will matter. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's not a big gap for sure.
It's sort of like a puzzles versus endurance. I think I obviously put Big CT over on puzzles. I put Amber and Kyle over on endurance.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, Kyle and Amber are going to have 1 week of, you know, doing a challenge together before, if they make it to a final, then go into a final. At least for Big CT, they've had many weeks to like build a rapport. Who knows? Maybe that's a bad thing considering what's happened between them, but at least they've built some level of, you know, partnership.
But shout out to Amber, who runs up to Kyle like she's been waiting her whole life to be paired with him. Also, yeah, shout out to Annie Abrams, who wrote that. How's she supposed to focus on the MPRE, which is a law school exam, and finals when there's so much challenge content? Annie, You could do it. Good luck. I know you're paying.
We believe in you.
You got this. All right, let's get to some tweets. Survivor social media. Tweets. What's wrong with? Yeah, I was just thinking that song, and then I said Survivor social media. Ooh, Nelly T. Okay. Thank you to digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth. Corey tweeted a picture of him in the Ryder shirt. Ryder's so freaking cute. In case you didn't know who I'm doing it for, three laugh cry emojis on that. Someone tweeted to Fessy, why does every girl want Fessy? Actually, did not tag Fessy, so you gotta love the name search. We all do it. Mm-hmm. Why does every girl, Brian searches for Scally though, just to make sure there's no overlap.
Right.
Why does every girl want Fessy? I truly, truly don't understand. Fessy wrote, because they ain't watching an edited episode. They know who giving them the best chance at a Millie, because they see everything you don't, period. Okay. We also hear people talking, but that's fine.
And seeing people kick other people in the face.
RHAP fam member Geneva got retweeted by the great Amber Borzotra. It's amazing how diverse the challenge is. And in fact, that all women of color are remaining in the competition. The challenge been new. They believe me, they are not racially perfect by any stretch.
No.
But what they lack in some of their cast members actions, they make up for. Maybe, no, they don't make up for it, but just separately, they have good casting.
Right. Correct.
And then let's see what else we have here. Cha-cha-cha. Nope, that's it. Drinking game?
That's it. All right. Drinking game. We got 13 for the week. One time someone acting out of revenge. Kyle voting for himself and Anissa as revenge for Anissa blindsiding him. Kyle is just so funny. Even like some of like the mean stuff he says, he just says it with such a smile on his face that he's been great. What a season for Kyle.
It really is a redemption for Kyle.
Big time. 8 subtitles. 2 sleeping in a bed. 2 Amber Bees. And that's it.
That's all right. 13. Good thing we took fire off the table for your boy.
Right. Yeah.
Kyle Bacardi. Okay. Do you have one?
Yeah, so... Do we want, so are we doing ones for the final yet, or are we still just doing ones?
I'm not ready for the final, but you can add whatever, you can have whatever you'd like.
I just wanted to just start, get the final one started, and just any checkpoint. Any checkpoint in the final, you take a drink. I think that's a good section along the way.
You just don't want Kyle to enjoy himself while he's watching the final.
Well, that's an easy one to track. It's an easy one. Checkpoint.
Now, is it just the first iteration? So if there are 5 checkpoints, it's 5, or it's each time a team arrives at the checkpoint?
Well, no, the first time someone arrives at the
checkpoint. Oh, no. It's every time the checkpoint someone arrives. Okay. Every time there's a checkoint to me.
Then that's a sip. Take a little sip. Otherwise, well, it'll be a long night ahead.
I guess I don't want Kyle to enjoy watching the finale. We'll leave it to him. For,
both Kyles.
He
both
makes Kyle's his...
killing it this year.
He makes his own rules. We have no control.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm adding a rule that will literally never come up, but I want to remember it for next season, which is anytime someone wears any of their own merch inspired by the Corey shirt, the Killa sweatshirt, Killa, you know, if we ever are blessed with Swaggy back on our screen,
mm-hmm.
You get it.
Oh, that, remember that blanket they had? That was incredible.
All right, beep beep, here come the DDs, Kate, Stuart, and Matt. So we, you know, you lost a point for Big T winning, but like, could you be any more winning? Like, even your first pick overall is giving you points.
It's so crazy.
The number one winner with 5 points, Brian Cohen. Scally has a paltry 9 points, even though he wins one for Anissa. Matt hot on my tail with 11. I have 12. Scally and Matt are winning. Now again, I don't know how Matt and Scally are talking about this, because famously when I tried to listen to their podcast, they were rude to us. So I haven't checked in with what they're doing, but they should be acknowledging that it should be in order of the losses, and they should not be bragging about this win, even though I would brag about the win in their shoes.
Correct. Correct all.
So now everyone's got skulls. The remaining teams are Allie, Team Allie and Brian Cohen have Amber B, Kyle, Big T, Leroy, and Cam. I swear to God, if Amber B and Kyle somehow get eliminated as a team and I have no people going into the final, like, you all have to, like, Venmo me a dollar. You know, like, I will become the losingest person in challenge history.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, there's a pretty high chance of it happening, so we'll get the Venmos ready.
It's incredible. Okay, Matt has CT, Fessy, and Nani. Brian Scally has Corey and Casey, and you have Big T, Leroy, and Cam.
Interesting.
But you're just so good. All right, let's thank our five-star reviewers, and then we're going to do a few minutes just chatting briefly and formally about the upcoming season of the Challenge All-Stars premiering on April 1st. So thank you to... I'm accidentally on the NGOG reviews. Thank you to those reviewers. Someone actually did write that they are a loyal listener of the Challenge podcast and just decided to, like, check out NGOG, even though he or she does not watch New Girl, and gave us 5 stars. So, you know, Pete off football love fan. Well, thank you on this show. iTunes is being so annoying, but we've gotten just such steady 5-star reviews this season that it's just been an absolute joy to exist in this world with all of you. Do you have anything to say while I panic search for the 5-star?
No, we love our fans. They've been killing it.
Don't call them fans. Ew. Who do you think you are? All right, Fessy.
Listeners.
Look at the ego on you. You got fans all of a sudden.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to switch to us.
Switched up? Oh, okay. No one's trying to switch to me. Okay. Thank you to David B. White, Kayla Hernandez, and M. Brizuela. Thank you, guys. We love the steady stream of love we've been getting, up to 826 five-star reviews. Really incredible. If you want to send us into the episode before the final, which could be multiple episodes, you can go to robhizawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Let us know how you're feeling about the season.
Please do. Let us know.
Speaking of season, let's talk about
Challenge All-Stars.
Let's talk about Challenge All-Stars. So how do you want to do this?
Next. So
you can plug the premiere.
So we got the cast here. So we could read off the cast just quickly, just so if anyone not fully aware who's there. And then, well, we each pick a couple people we're most excited about, I guess.
Do you know what I thought of when you said you'll just rattle off the cast? It took me back.
To what? Right before this season started?
No. It took me back to when we used to podcast about Are You the One? And you'd be like, the matches were. And then you just, like, name the names. Yep. I don't know. It just, like, put it really no logical sense I thought of that. But it just, like, I was like, woo, time warped back to that.
Fun deja vu. All right, so for the men, we have Ace from Real World Paris, Alton from Real World Vegas, Darrell from, obviously, from, you know, his original season of Road Rules, Derek K from Road Rules, Big Easy, he was a fresh meat, Letarian, gotta be honest, I'm not entirely remember who that is, from Road Rules, Mark Long, Nehemiah from Real World Austin, Cyrus from Rural Boston, Tech from Rural Hawaii, and Yes from Road Rules. For the women, we got Anissa, never heard of her, Arissa from Rural Vegas,
disrespect.
Beth from Rural Los Angeles, Jemmy from Rural New Orleans, Jeanne, Rural Cancun, Jalissa from Road Rules, Katie from Road Rules, Kellyanne, Real World Sydney, Kendall, Road Rules, Ruthie, Real World Hawaii, and Trishelle from Real World Vegas.
So it's really incredible to flip through and see how old people are now with zero shade, right? There are some people who are in their, like, late 30s, and, like, Beth is 52 mother freaking years old, and she looks younger than me, and I'm 29. Damn, Beth. What's up? It's going to be extremely interesting. Like, where do we see a similar caliber physical reality show competition where people are starting? Who's the youngest? Is Jemmy the youngest? Like,
yeah, I would say probably just based off their timing of rerolls, probably either Jemmy or John A would, I guess, be the youngest.
I have Big Easy at 39. I'm just doing a quick scroll. Oh, Derek's 37. What a youth. Okay, sorry. Nehemiah's 35. Let me know if this is boring, but I kind of want to know who's the youngest. So Nehemiah's 35. That right now has the record. Oh, that's Katie. I thought it was Kellyanne. I was like, Kellyanne's 41. So no way.
John A's 32.
And Jemmy's 32. So around 32, let's say. Like, where do you see a physical reality show where people are in unbelievable shape and are unbelievable athletes, and the casting starts at 32 years old and goes to 50 plus?
Yeah. It's not on TV that we see.
I'm excited for it. That's an understatement, obviously. So to your point, we could just like rat off a couple people, just highlights. But what you were saying about not remembering some of these people, I was famously not that Road Rules girl. Like, I was not a Road Rules person. I don't like to be outside. So like, Road Rules is sort of fundamentally incompatible with my life choices, even at 12. And Real World was much more my speed. But anyone who really transitioned to multiple, like Derek, obviously, Darrell, obviously, right, like coming in at like 10 challenges, whatever, those people transcend. But there are definitely some people I'm not ultra, ultra familiar with. And in that way, I will just blanket say, cool to see some new faces that did, like, yes, has not been on the challenge in 19 years. I'm just looking at an Us Weekly article if people want to check this out. And that's pretty cool.
It is. I mean, it's wild, like the length of time that between I'm so curious for this show, like how physical they're going to make it. Are they going to make it like as extreme as the challenges? Are they going to, I think I saw some of the trailer that might do some of the throwback challenges, which would be kind of cool. So the kind of a blend of what the show used to be and what it is. So yeah, I'm curious to see exactly how extreme they make it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a clip that was like, you had to solve an equation and dive under and get the cube that has the right number on it. So like, definitely not the most physical thing I've ever seen, but not physical, you know?
Oh yeah, and I'd be fine if this was more of like a old school vibe to some of the challenges. I think that would be perfectly fine and maybe even better for this type of show. So that's definitely not a knock if it goes that way.
But I have no understanding of the format. I really would like to know. We famously haven't watched a Joe's versus Pros or whatever. So we'll see how this goes. I think it's, what, 9 episodes, Scallier Man said?
Yeah, it says 9 episodes, $500,000 on the line, according to the Challenge Wiki.
Imagine learning something from the Challenge Wiki. Okay. It's an inside joke. All right, so throw out a name. Who do you want to quickly talk about?
This is not like the most powerhouse person, but I love John A. Like I think she was just so fun for her Real World season on the show. I can't believe she's back on my television. And I'm very excited for her to be back.
Yeah. So some highlights for John A. John A. dated Zach actually before Jenna dated Zach and suffered through that relationship. Yeah. So good for John A. for not currently being married to Zach.
Congrats to her. Big congrats.
But yeah, I mean, I think John A is someone I think I forgot about, like out of sight, out of mind, but was very excited to see her reappear on the cast.
Mm-hmm. She's, like, honestly, like when I think of, just for another person, just to quickly discuss, if I think of like old school, the fact that Big Easy's back in the challenge, like he's so like iconic in like a bad way, unfortunately for him, for some of his moments. So the fact that he's back here and can try to like redeem himself for some of the other stuff is, I love it. That's great.
Yeah. So to set that up, basically Big Easy, it was a final, right? With Laura, like he made a final and had to be medevac from the final.
And honestly, I like not even like I think the more horrible moment, like two other horrible moments. One, he like basically quit in like an elimination where they had to like go under the water and like drown and come back up. And
they had to drown and come back up.
Basically, that's what it was. And Camilla was like freaking out at him. That was a bad moment. And then like the attacks that Laurel laid on him, like Big Easy had a rough stay on the challenge. So like him coming back now, how many years later since his last one, like good for him to like put himself back out there.
He's sort of like the Anissa, like it's not as bad this season for Anissa, but it's sort of like a similar vibe for someone who hasn't watched any seasons. Yeah, I was going to throw out Big Easy, and I want to add Jemmy to this conversation just because like they're definitely more like I know it's old school still, but it's still sort of more in recent memory as compared to like Beth. Like Jemmy and Big Easy to me, besides Mark Long, who I guess we'll have to talk about, are coming back the absolute hungriest with like the most approved. Like I follow Jemmy on Instagram and Jemmy has been working out like God knows what in the last year. And I think Big Easy too, like in this picture, the Challenge All-Stars article on Us Weekly has pictures of like their before and their now. And like Big Easy's lost a lot of weight and he came back on the show since he lost some weight, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he had like a, I mean, one of his highlights was he had like a, he crushed Wes in elimination. I think it might have been like a hall brawl type thing, but he had a great showing there when he came back after losing some weight.
So I think Big Easy and Jemmy are coming in with like chips on their shoulders, whereas some of these other people are coming in with very little to prove, unless they're trying to, what's not clear about this, since they cast some sort of current people in the rotation with some of these older school people, it's like not clear if this could end up being a springboard to like getting invited back on the main challenge and like how many people would want that. Like I know some people are only here because it was like an unlimited engagement, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people want to be in the conversation again for the actual challenge.
Yeah, I can see it going both ways. I could see some people here trying to springboard to the challenge, and then I can see some people who've done the challenge being like, I don't want to commit to that full time. I'm going to go down to this. So I think we can kind of see both waves playing out.
All right. So I guess I put in Jemmy. So we talked about Jemmy and John A and Big Easy, who are sort of in like the newer school of people who have been retired, right? Like they could still be on the show age wise. Like their peers are still on the show in terms of age, but they just haven't been on. Who else do you want to throw in?
I mean, for some of the Road Rules people that like, I'm like you, I'm not a Road Rules person. Like you, the only people I'm more familiar with are the ones who've really stuck on the challenge. So just some of the people that I'm just like genuinely just not really familiar with, or even I saw somewhat, even someone like Yes, like I don't really have that much of a memory of him. Like I mentioned the Tarian, like I don't really remember him much. So some of these Road Rules people that I think have just a more passionate fan base that I'm just not a part of, I'm excited to have them pop up in my world.
Some rapid fire reacts. I mean, Alton, great to see him back. He's someone that I think could really go the distance on the season. He's also got Arissa, who was on his season. Unclear where their relationship stands now. Unclear to me. Maybe it's clear to other people. just some quick hits. We got to talk about Katie. Katie is one of the most like notorious challenge characters who's no longer on. I mean, she was on 9 seasons. And she is one of the most iconic scenes in challenge history, where she's up on like carabiner, like harnesses with another iconic person, Veronica, who's been back more recently. And she's like trying to unclip her carabiner. Like she's trying to kill her to win the challenge.
Yeah. No, but like people joke like, oh, I'm going to murder you. Like this was legitimately a murder attempt on our TVs. And now she's like back on the show. So it's like, here we are.
I mean, I recommend you watch Ellen Agent. It was really scary. You remember it well. And they got a huge, they got in huge fights. Like Katie is just known for being like one of the OG, like I will pop off like what MTV's bread and butter was. And, you know, now she's got a couple of kids that should obviously won't change personality wise. Like this is say nothing, but obviously she's 41 years old now. In the way that Dad ZT has evolved, we will see what Katie Doyle looks like. Just happy regardless to see her on my screen again.
Yep. Very, very fun.
Any other call outs you want to make?
Not really. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, Kellyanne, I was always a big Kellyanne fan. She's another one that if she wanted to, I can see her using this as a springboard to get back. And of course, you know, there's a legend, Churchill, of course, of Sequester fame being back on the show. So that'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we'll talk about it after the premiere. It's definitely an exciting cast, but definitely not like everyone I thought. I mean, this is why I don't work in television. Like, I think they did a really good job of giving a mix of like certain iconic people. And then some people you're like, oh, it's nice to see you again. I didn't think about you. Mm-hmm. And then also like, I forgot. Nehemiah, someone like you said about Kellyanne. I think Nehemiah could also sort of use this to get back on. He's 35. He won one out of the four times he was on the challenge. I just don't think, I think Nehemiah could come back and sort of not skip a beat, but we'll see what happens in this.
Yep.
Audition.
And if this goes well, I'm sure we might see some of the more kind of famous old school players maybe come back to this, which would be cool. Like someone like Evelyn that I'm sure people wanted to see. So I think this, you know, for the challenge series, I hope this goes well. I hope it goes well.
Yeah, Mark Long's got a thick Rolodex, people. Don't worry about it.
For sure.
On that note.
All right. Yeah, so that's next week. Paramount Plus. We'll be back for episode 16. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I _. And they can follow you.
At Brian Scally. No, you can follow me at Lash Tweets. You can check out New Girl Old Guy at anchor.fm/New Girl Old Guy.
Very good episode this week, I might add. Very entertaining.
Well, when you go away for a while, you get more appreciated when you come back.
You left us somehow, even with a 4.5-hour podcast in between, you left us wanting more. So worked out, good strategy. Worked out well. We'll be back next week for episode 16 and the premiere of Challenge All-Stars. Until then, have a good one.